Hey everyone, and welcome to the first episode of Chicago Beer Pass. This is your ticket to all the craft beer events happening in and around Chicago. In this episode, Nick and I talk about Festive Ale, Goose Island 312 Block Party, and let you know about some of the events happening this week in Chicago. Hey, welcome everybody to the first episode of Chicago Beer Pass.
Oh yeah.
I'm Brad Chmielewski.
I'm Nick White.
We're here to talk about the events that are happening around Chicago and just like be your ticket and your all access pass to like what's happening and where we're drinking and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the idea behind it is that there's so much going on in Chicago, and you know, this gives us an outlet that, you know, we won't go too deep into it, but we would like to highlight some of the things we like to go do and then maybe some of the future events and just give you something to listen to and enjoy, man. The landscape's always changing, so it's fun to have, you know, moments like this where we just get to sit down and talk about what's going on. So
yeah, so Nick, since this is the first episode, do you want to introduce yourself, like what do you do and why you're qualified to talk about drinking in Chicago?
Well, my name's Nick. I really like to drink. But yeah, my name's Nick White. I'm the co-founder of Chicago Beer Geeks, and I'm also the host of the Chicago Brew Bus. So we tell the story of Chicago through beer. You know, I remember a couple years ago, our website's only 2 years old. A couple years ago, we were watching this crazy show called The Hopcast on the train, commuting to our day job. And then we just decided it was something we really wanted to do, you know, kind of just document our story, talk about what we were doing. And, you know, we've done 170 stories on the website. We've done 3 documentaries. We do a bunch of parties now. We host our own events. And yeah, on weekends, I do a 3-hour tour called the Brew Bus, 3 breweries, 3 hours, and it's a history tour in between stops. So just an ambassador for Chicago craft beer. I really love my city, really love craft beer, and that's why we're here.
Nice. Yeah. And like, so as you mentioned, yeah, the Hopcast, yeah, that's who I am. I'm co-host of the Hopcast with Ken Hunnemeter, and been doing that for about 5 years. So we saw the landscape here in Chicago changed quite a bit from when we started and knew nobody to now Ken working at Goose Island and us walking into almost any brewery and being able to say hi to somebody behind the counter, I guess. It's crazy. And I know we both try to make it to as many events as we can. There's a lot of them.
Absolutely, man. Most of the time in Chicago, some of these events that we end up going to, it's like in a neighborhood that we probably wouldn't necessarily hang out at during the week. Mm-hmm. And then also it's a chance to meet everybody who's making the beer and selling the beer. You know, the beer community really comes together at these parties, and it's really a unique experience most of the time. It's a lot of fun.
I know I try to go to the ones that happen in my area a lot just because we are in Chicago, like you said, and it's tough to like make it outside your area. Like a mile is like, what? I'm not going a mile from my house. So if there's something happening on Division or Milwaukee and Wicker Park, Bucktown, I'll probably be there. If something good, I guess.
I hear that. Yeah, I'm based downtown, and I'm up in Logan when I'm not working. So, yeah, if it's not in one of those two areas, it's tough to get to. Mm-hmm. Try to make the effort, but yeah, I'm like you, like, dude, I'm not gonna go that far. But then after a few drinks, you're like, oh well, I guess I'll go this once,
right? Someone's like, hey, come up to Hopleaf. Like, oh, that's way far away, but okay.
Yeah, I love Hopleaf, but it might as well be, you know, it's far, man. It might as well be the suburbs, but once you get up there, it's fun.
Yeah, sure. And since this is a show about beer at beer events, we are drinking beer, so today of course we have to be drinking Chicago beer. I think that's a theme we have to carry throughout doing these as we continue. So we're drinking Revolution's Oktoberfest.
Yeah, it's pretty good too, man. 6.5% brewed right at their state-of-the-art $5 million Kedzie facility. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Josh, the chairman of the party, we were talking about it earlier, he crashed one of our tours at at Revolution. Said he's been they lagered this one for 6 weeks, man. Nice. Mm-hmm. And smooth, big, malty, everything you want in Oktoberfest, and it's Revolution style. So 6.5-7% is considered sessionable in most cases.
Yeah, it's a great beer, and yeah, as you said, yeah, it's just what you want in Oktoberfest. It's not too heavy, it's sweet and enjoyable. And it's in cans too, so that's even better.
Yeah, this dude on the can's having a blast, man. He's got the killer mustache with the hat, the lederhosen, big tuba. just getting it done, man. Blue fist on the can. Fun stuff.
So the events this past week, we both made it to, I know we saw each other at 2 events. There might have been other ones that we didn't see each other at, but we were at.
Yeah.
Let's start it off. What'd you go to this past week?
All right. Well, this week, Friday, we went to the 7th Annual Chicago Festive Ale. Pretty unique event.
Seventh, all right.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Cool. Yeah. So Festivale, if you guys don't know, it's a benefit for cystic fibrosis. So the Cystic Fibrosis is a national organization that has a Chicago chapter. Mm-hmm. So there's that group throws a few events annually. One of them is a beer event. It's a celebration of beer. It's always in the West Loop at Carmichael Steakhouse. And at the rear of Carmichael Steakhouse is this beautiful event center. So you walk down this this grassy, you know, tree path, mm-hmm. and there's this event center that holds 700 people. So that's where Festival is, and it's a really good time. So we were at that one this week. This is it's a pretty unique event. It's on a Friday night at a steakhouse, so you get this clash of two worlds, right? You get like guys in like suit jackets, and then you get like a lot of women, and they're wearing the little black dresses. And then, but you get guys like us, who, you know, a lot of facial hair, you know, maybe some plaids, right? Some jeans, and you get a mix of these two worlds. It's really a good event. We try to focus on local Chicago beers there. And it's a good time.
So you're on the board of this, right? Or do you assist with it? Correct?
Absolutely. So there's a planning committee every year. And for the last 2 years, we've been on the planning committee. So what we do, it's our job to, because it's a fundraiser, you know, they try to raise money for cystic fibrosis. So what we do is try to reach out to all our friends in the beer community. We get gifts for like what's called the Tower of Beer. Okay. And then there's a silent auction component there. So there's a lot of beer related gifts there, like posters, tickets to the Chicago Brew Bus. This year, Ray Daniels from Cicerone donated the ultimate box set from Lost Abbey out in California.
Oh, yeah.
So it's this really awesome, like a $600 collection of these beers that he named after. He tried to name it. I'm describing this all wrong, right?
It's delicious beers in like a crazy case.
Right. Thank you, Brad. It's delicious beers in a crazy case. I think one of the beers in there, Track 8, actually won runner-up for Best in Show at FOBAB last year.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah, it's a really cool beer. All these one-off beers that he kind of that he put these wild yeast, and some of them were turned sour. It was just a really cool set, and it's all set up like a box set, the way an album box set would be set up. And yeah, it's that was just one of the gifts.
Do you know who won that? We should probably hang out with them and become friends with them, and you know, if they want to share them,
yeah,
I'm more than happy to help.
13 bottles, yeah, in that set.
Don't drink those alone.
No, man, sharing is caring, Brad. Sharing is caring, man.
Yeah. That was my first time at the event. Like after 7 years, I can't believe I haven't been to that before.
Yeah, I think initially it started. I remember year number 3 was at the Half Acre Brewery.
Okay.
And then every year after that, I believe, has been at Carmichael Steakhouse. It's fun. Try to draw about 700 people. 700 is about the capacity there.
Mm-hmm.
So about 200 VIP. VIP starts an hour early. And then 500 general admission. Usually you have 5 or 6 food vendors, you know, like the West End or Small Bar or Carmichael Steakhouse itself. All these different food stations. And then this year was pretty cool because there was a photo booth. And there was a couple other treats to keep people entertained. And then there's always live music.
Right.
So it's a fun party. As far as Friday night events go, it's near the top. I mean, we don't get enough Friday night awesome annual craft beer fun. So
right. And I think the food is like almost a bonus for this event, because usually you go to these beer events and it's tons of beer and everyone's just getting drunk and then stumbling around and it just gets silly. But with the food, I think it helps sober people, or like just evens people out a little more.
Yeah, totally. One of the highlights for me was Three Aces, and I forget where Three Aces is. I think it's in Little Italy, maybe.
Yeah, Little Italy. Right? They got a great burger.
Man, yeah. And so they brought these, they brought these duck meatballs, and the duck meatballs were like, they had like fried kale on the top, and then they were, and a golden beet sauce, and then they had croutons made from pound cake.
Oh, okay. With the duck meatball? I don't remember the meatball.
It was sitting right next to like Dry Hop's booth. It was pretty lights out, man. I really enjoyed that. And I really enjoyed this year they added a nano booth. So, when you go to this festival, every brewery has its own station. Mm-hmm. But there was this one station that was a nano booth, so it rotated every hour. So it would start with like Spiteful, and then it would go to like Pipeworks, and then hour number 3 is like Lake Effect, and after that it's like 18th Street.
Oh,
so
I didn't even know that. I think I just went over there one time, and I think I thought it was 18th Street. I was like, oh, I'll come back for 18th Street.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, I thought this was pipe worn. You're
like, what's going on here? Did somebody put something in my beer?
Yeah, this wasn't what I thought. That's not the brewer there. Yeah.
That was one of the features from this year that was different. And then, so I really enjoyed that. And then I also really enjoyed, I finally got a chance to try Forbidden Root.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, the Forbidden Root's one of these new breweries that's draft only. I don't think they have no space yet. I know Randy Moser's consulting on some of the recipes, and then there's this other guy, and a lot of their beers are really deeply, I mean, no pun intended, but they're deeply rooted in like finding these beautiful organic ingredients, like, you know, baby ginger and, you know, chocolate and, you know, like walnuts, and really kind of incorporating that into some of their beers.
Yeah. I think first time they were out and about was at the Oak Park Brew Review. So I think there's people talking about them there. And I think a lot of people, I saw tweets and stuff afterwards, like they were the standout or hidden gem and like just surprise. And yeah, it was good.
That was really cool. And I liked what Ale Syndicate was doing. They were running their Sunday session through a Randall full of tea, mm-hmm. which was fun.
Yeah, those like those berries were like weirdly sweet and bitter. And
yeah,
it's cool. It's neat to see what people bring out to some of these festivals. That's just like, hey, I'm just here and trying to be different, or just be like, I know you can get our beer anytime. Like, let's do something different.
Yeah, I really thought that Haymarket was there to impress, man. I think more than anybody, they kind of brought the pain. They brought their Oktoberfest, and then they brought Matthias, which is this, I don't know how often they do it, but it's like this 11%
pure, you know, red ale. Yeah,
man, it's like just a hot bomb, just a really good beer. And then they brought Indignant, which is their their stout aged in Woodford Reserve barrels for 9 months. It's not even on draft at the pub right now.
I bet Pete's saving that for Phobab.
I think so. Yeah, but him being in the West Loop, you know, the breweries in the West Loop, and then this party was in the West Loop, I definitely think he was making a statement. He brought four like really good beers, you know.
So yeah, and they had quite a crew there too. There was like four or five people working that booth, where everyone else was like one or two guys.
Exactly. Yeah, so that was fun to see, and that's what festivals are about.
Yeah,
you know, bringing something that, you know, that, you know, maybe surprises people. So
that was a fun event. I know I'm probably gonna go next year, because that was just a good time. And like you said, the amount of people too, it was like a perfect amount where you never had to wait for a beer, and easy to walk around. It wasn't like shoulder to shoulder and smelling like farts. And
we know some parties that will remain nameless that we all attend that definitely have that as one of the features. Yeah, this place was like, you know, it's like a maybe 9-10,000 square foot space, you know, and it kind of feels like a garage, you know. There's a big open spaces on both sides, so yeah, people were able to get in and out relatively easy. And it was a good time. And I just want to send a shout out to now I feel like we're on a podcast. shout out to Heather Kundert, man, Sarah McLean, Aaron Kearns. Those guys do a great job organizing the beer community to put on a really cool event. WXRT, everybody in attendance. I thought it was just a really fun Sunday night. And the Beer Bistro, was a big contributor. I think they were one of the gold sponsors this year. Put up a lot of money.
So I'm walking around there. Yeah.
Bob McDermott, man. Yeah. That's my guy.
That was Friday night.
Yeah.
And then Saturday night, Saturday day, more so, we were greeted with another fest. It's like you had to get up and kind of do it all over again.
Right? It's like, I call it the end of the festival season when you get like Festivale and then this party right here. It's, because there's events every weekend, you know, that whole killer. August is a killer month. There's great stuff going on every weekend. And then September's a lot the same, you know. And this kind of ends that, you know, that frequency, but it's a really good weekend. So
right. So Saturday was the Goose Island 312 block party, and this is their second time they've done this.
Yeah.
Or at least the second time I've been.
Yeah. I was talking to like one of the ladies there, and they were saying that, you know, they did it a while back, and then they stopped for a long time.
Like a long time ago.
Right. Okay. Like it probably wasn't even called 312 block party back then.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, but this is, I'm the same. This is the second one that I've been to. So it was,
this is good. They block off the street like you would expect from a block party, and just they have a couple bands play. I know they team up with XRT, right, for the music.
Yeah.
And set that up, and then they have a little tour, a little walkthrough of their barrel warehouse, lots of beer set up, And they even have the innovation station set up where they're pouring Bourbon County and then like Jillian and different hours everything was going. I know I didn't get there till like 6:30 or 7 and went on till 10, I think it ended. Yeah. So it was like 4, it was like 4 to 10. So it was a long day of drinking if you went to the whole thing.
Man. Yeah, it ran pretty late, man. And I love what Goose does when they host their own events, cuz I think the last couple parties I went to from those guys, they're doing their 25th anniversary thing this year, right? So, yeah. You know, at Clybourne, there was an event where it was a Saturday night and they had 60 of their own beers on draft.
That was a crazy
night. You know, it was like really impressive. I'm like, what is going on here, right? And then they did the 25th anniversary block party, which it wasn't on this block, but it was a block north, like right in front of the brewery. Mm-hmm. So this one is like a block south, you know, on the same block that the barrel program is on.
Right. The other one was between the brewery and the barrel warehouse. This one's just on the back side of the barrel warehouse.
You're seeing beers that I know last year I saw beers I thought I'd never see again, you know, and there were like these variants of them, like, you know, 312 with Brett and, you know, Demolition with Lime. And there was a Parisiac Sour last year, mm-hmm. like these really cool beers. And this year was no exception, man. I got there a little late this year, you know, so I stayed for maybe like an hour or so.
Okay.
The Bourbon County Rare is always a treat. But then, you know, Bramble BCS, which is pouring real good right now. It's actually Bramble Rise, not Bramble BCS. Okay. Buffalo Trace BCS. But the one that I remember the most that was really good, man, was this sake beer. Did you have this sake beer?
No, I didn't. But there's a event next week coming up that has the Fulton. It's the latest Fulton and Wood beer.
Exactly.
I forget the name of it. It's like, starts with a K. But that was just somebody had a couple bottles or a couple little things sitting around, so it wasn't like at a booth or anything. So if you didn't see it or didn't get to try it and you were there and you're like, what the hell, I tried every beer there was and where was that one, that was like,
right,
somebody from Goose was just walking around like
no, it was literally like they had all these pouring stations, but then like they had these guys just pouring bottles of this. They pull out bottles and it wasn't like you go to the station, there were bottles sitting on top. It was kind of like a, hey, what do you, you ask them what you're doing here, and then they pour you some.
Right.
It was like almost, it was that kind of thing.
So that was in the VIP tent too, so.
That is true. It actually was in the VIP tent. So it was a sake saison brewed with koji and sake yeast. So it's like a beer sake hybrid. Okay. And they call it Kisetsu.
Sure. And, I'll take it.
It was, yeah, it was all sorts of awesome, man.
Mm-hmm. I'm
yeah.
sure Ken is working on a video for that as we speak, so you'll probably see that online here shortly.
Yeah, so I had that beer, and then I had Run the Jewels, man. Which
that was
is,
so good.
That beer is unstoppable.
That was great. And yeah. then the Four Cone.
Oh, yeah.
It was really good, too. I think I stuck to pretty much to Run the Jewels and Four Cone
yeah.
all night.
You sound like me at Pitchfork. So Run the Jewels and Four Cone were both made for Pitchfork. But then, you didn't really see them outside of the festival. I think you might see Four Cone a little bit around town. Definitely. I haven't seen Run the Jewels at all, really, around town.
No, I think Cobra Lounge had Four Cone on or still do.
So Four Cone is a West Coast pale ale. And then Run the Jewels is their super dry hop Belgian single. And it's really good. It was definitely one of my favorite beers of the summer. So mm-hmm. I was really stoked to see that, man. And yeah. then it's called Run the Jewels.
Yeah.
Man, such a dope name for a beer, man. It's so good.
It was good. Yeah. So you waited in line for the innovation beers, like right, the Bourbon County Rare and stuff. How was the line this time compared to the 25th party, which was kind of a mess?
But I didn't hear a lot of that at this party.
I know Adam Lilly was walking around up and down the line pouring people Big John or something else and just like keeping people, I guess, fed, you know.
right like, and you know, and that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, so I didn't really see as much of that, and I thought it was a little bit more, I think it was more spread out than the block party too, because mm-hmm. you had like you said, the block was cut off and you had pouring stations all up and down the street. But then you had this other tent where VIP was, and that helped kind of alleviate a lot of the traffic that you would normally get at these other stations. Mm-hmm. So I think that was really good. And then there were videos up, which was nice.
Yeah.
You know, like I think the 25th anniversary video that I think maybe that Ken and you and Maeve all put together, yeah. which was really fucking awesome, by the way. I really dug that, man. But yeah, I thought it was a really good party.
Also in that VIP tent was some cocktails, right? Did you make it in time for that? No, I got there just at the end of that. I know Suzanne, she worked on some She worked on a Sophie cocktail and I want to say a 312 cocktail, which makes sense because it's a 312 block party.
Right.
So those I heard
were or 312 as as the out-of-towners say it.
312. Both those events were fabulous. And then I know what the band, they were great.
Yeah, what was it, Tokyo Club?
Yeah, Tokyo Club. They were really good.
My favorite part about that party, man, is like, you know, in the summertime, you don't really get a lot of beer festivals, like actually in the city, right? There's maybe like one or two. There's like you said, Oak Park and Plainfield and blah, 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 you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, oh, because a lot of the licenses are already used for summer block parties. You know, so
and street festivals and, like the city runs and
exactly. So to have a real hardcore outdoor block party like in city limits, you know, with the skyline right behind you, I thought was really cool. And then that's, you know, that's the oldest brewery in Chicago. So I thought it was a great night. It was a little chilly, so you got a nice inside outdoor action. Mm-hmm. You know, that was fun. I really enjoyed that. You know, it's kind of like and then like the following day was literally like the first day of fall. Right. So, I mean, summer went out with a bang, you know, Friday Festival, Saturday Goose Block Party. It was solid weekend.
It was fun. Yeah. Yeah. Had a blast. So now moving on. So that was past week. I know I had to rest on Sunday after those two.
Yeah, absolutely nothing. I feel weird because I'm talking with my hands. We're at the studio and I'm talking with my hands like people actually see me. I feel like I'm a weatherman or something, right? Like, why do I keep talking with my hands?
But so this coming week, I guess we kind of want to talk about, give you a heads up on like what's coming up and just alert you and some of the things that we've seen that maybe you might have missed. Because there are a lot of things, like even little things at a brewery or a bar release or, I mean, a beer release, special tap takeover, something that you just don't know about every one. So I thought we'd highlight some of those and yeah.
Absolutely.
So tomorrow on September 26th, I know at Hopleaf, Five Rabbits releasing their Oktoberfest, their Day of the Dead, basically. What's it called? Viada.
Yeah, I think it's a Vida del Muerte. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Was basically Day of the Dead. Yeah.
And that's their version of Oktoberfest. I think it's pretty high in alcohol, too. So.
Yeah, it's near 7%. Yeah. I mean, because Oktoberfests are traditionally something you should be able to pound, right? Like. Mm-hmm. 4%, 5%.
But something called Day of the Dead you maybe don't want to pound.
Yeah, but it's really good. I haven't had it in a while. That beer's really good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's their version of the Marzen.
And yeah, we know that maybe if you're listening to this later, you may have missed a lot of these events or something, so sorry about that.
Yeah, right. So Day of the Dead, Hopleaf Thursday, and then Wednesday, the 25th, up in Wrigleyville, at Sweet Baby Ray's, Bader Brow is having the debut of their Oktoberfest, which I had a festival. It's really good. It's like simple, smooth, fucking like 4%, like really good. Nice. And they're roasting a goat at Sweet Baby Ray's. So they're going to have their Chicago-style Pilsner and their Oktoberfest at Sweet Baby Ray's. They're calling it Roast a Goat. So it's kind of like a celebration of the end of the Chicago Cubs season.
Oh, cool. You know? Okay.
So that's going to be a good time. I've never actually been to Sweet Baby Ray's.
No, me either.
So I'm looking forward to getting up there. And then they're going to roast a goat. They're goat sliders. Beer all day. It starts at 11, ends at 5.
Oh, cool.
That's going to be cool. And, you know, I get to go up to Wrigley, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm a Sox fan, but I love hanging out at Wrigley. You know, it's weird. Like, I've been to at Sheffield's. I was there for the Cubs home opener. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going up there for the last day of the Cubs season.
So you just go at the beginning and the end.
But it's beer, man. Beer's kind of beer's driving it. Beer over sports, which I never thought I'd say.
Oh, wow.
But it seems to be that way, man. You know?
Whatever moves you. Right? So that's Wednesday, Thursday. Friday is Half Acres releasing a couple new beers, or a couple old beers, but releasing them again. They have a Double Daisy and their Lager Town, which is their Oktoberfest. It's Oktoberfest season, so they're all coming out, and it's a good week to get your hands on them and try them all.
Yeah. Gotta love what the guys at Half Acre are doing. Mm-hmm. The Double Daisy Cutter label is out of control.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
It's like a donkey with two heads, and he's on a moon, and the moon's got daisies coming out of it, and the donkey's wearing like a space suit. It's wacky, man. It's some wacky stuff. And then this Saturday, not sure what Saturday's date is, but this Saturday, our buddies over at Solidarity, celebrating the hardcore and craft beer. They're doing an event at Rockwell's Neighborhood Grill. It's a cask event, so they're doing some pretty impressive cask. Everybody from Oscar Blues to Ballast Point, local breweries like Half Acre and Solemn Oath, they all made casks specifically for this event. So, for example, the Solemn Oath cask is called Hexafoo's Farmhouse Ale. It's got rosemary and mint in the cask. And then every brewery that does a cask beer is also doing a draft beer. So, for example, Oscar Blues is doing their Dale's Pale Ale on cask, but then they're doing the Deuce, which is a hopped up brown ale, and they're doing that on draft. This one sounds interesting from Greenbush. Greenbush is bringing two casks. One of them is called the Journeyman Cask Barrel of Unicorn Killer.
Man, what's with all the unicorns?
we got a unicorn fetish going on in the craft beer world. But yeah, that looks pretty cool, man. The last Solidarity event I went to was at in Wicker Park, the arcade.
Emporium?
We went to Emporium on a Sunday, like right after football season ended. And they had a black event.
Oh.
Right, so then they just poured all dark beers.
Okay,
you know, and it was really cool. Those guys, they really they're like us, you know. They really enjoy, you know, everything you can find in the store. But when they throw parties, they try to throw parties with stuff that you can't just buy. What makes it cool, man. And the guys over at Rockwell are also behind Aleman Brewing. Aleman's pretty cool because they won the Iron Brew contest and they were able to brew beer with Two Brothers and Stone. So nice. The Aleman guys will probably be there too. So.
That's kind of awesome. So is that a ticketed event, or is it just kind of a open bar kind of thing, or is it just kind of...
No, that's a great question. It's a ticketed event. Okay. What you want to do is go to Brown Paper Tickets. You go to CASK, C-A-S-K, .brownpapertickets.com. You can read all the details there. I think $40 gets you into the event, and that includes food as well as beer.
Oh, nice. I guess I know what I'm doing then on Saturday.
That looks cool. Actually, that looks really cool.
Yes, anything going on? Anything else coming up? I know later, beginning of October, we got the Revolution Oktoberfest party. That's on, I think, the 4th or something.
Yeah, right? I think you're right, man. October 4th at their Kedzie facility. You know, they got the brew pub on Milwaukee, but then everything that they make in cans and bottles comes out of their Kedzie brewery. It's 3340 North Kedzie, and it's a huge space, like this beautiful $5 million facility. You know, they said they're on pace to be the number two brewer in the state, craft brewer behind Goose Island.
Okay. Like really until Lagunitas comes in?
Until Lagunitas gets here. Yeah, until Lagunitas gets here, they'll be, they're creeping up on number two. They're making a lot of beer over there.
Those parties are always, I've been to a couple at the production brewery, and it's just, it's massive, and you're walking around, you're going usually indoor, outdoor kind of festival kind of thing going on.
Yeah, absolutely. There's going to be food trucks. There's probably going to be a dunking tank. That was last year. They have it built under contract to throw four parties a year there. Throw some really cool parties. Their grand opening party closed Chicago Beer Week 2 years ago.
Yeah, that was good.
And then last year's Oktoberfest, and this is the third really big party there. They're going to have Slutter, which I believe is a Kiss cover band.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, man. You don't want to miss a Revolution party, man. They really go all out. So
that's good. I think that about does it for this first episode of Chicago Beer Pass.
That was cool.
Yeah. Hopefully you found out a little bit about what's happening. A little jealous that we're going to all these cool events and you didn't make it.
But we are here. We are here to share with you what happened, just in case you weren't able to go. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you know of any other events or want to mention an event on here, let us know. We'd love to find out about it as well. And so, Nick, where can people find you and get a hold of you if they have questions or things they want to say?
Absolutely, man. I'm on Twitter all day long, twice on Sundays. At Shy Beer Geeks is the Twitter handle. And then everybody on our crew manages our Facebook page, facebook.com/Chicago Beer Geeks, or just shoot me an email, you know, nicosio@chicagobeergeeks.com.
Cool. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at brad, or go out the Hopcast site and find my contact there. And then be sure to subscribe and follow us here or whatever, however we're going to have this all set up. Nah, we're still working on the details on that, but it should be all going once this is up. And
right on.
Cheers, and thanks for listening.
Later, guys.